your business is sponsored by American Express Open. American Express Open is committed to helping businesses turn their best ideas into reality so they can say yes to their best ideas and get business done.
Good morning. Coming up on MSNBC's Your Business, two companies with a new take on the old school retail model are shaking things up in an industry that's struggling. How one woman is spearheading a business revolution in Beloit, Wisconsin, and it's bringing thousands of jobs and new blood to the local Main Street economy. And the first of our elevator pitchers vying to get their product on the shelves of Sam's Club. Will the buyers give them a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Let's grow fast and work smart. That's all coming up next on Your Business.
Your Business is sponsored by American Express Open, helping you get business done.
Hi there, everyone. I'm JJ Ramberg, and welcome to Your Business, the show dedicated to growing your business. Small Business Saturday is only a couple of weeks away, and small retailers across the country are gearing up their marketing plans to get customers through their doors. But that's an issue even big retailers have been struggling with. We meet two online companies who say the problem isn't that people aren't shopping, it's that businesses are stuck in the old way of doing things when shopping patterns have changed. Both MGemmy and Parachute are trying out alternative approaches to retail, and it has both their online and offline sales booming.
You've seen the headlines.
More about news this week for the $5 trillion retail industry.
Macy's, Sears, Toys R Us have all closed locations. Smaller stores are struggling to get customers in the door. Seems like a bad time to open a retail shop, right? The founders of MGemmy and Parachute feel otherwise.
We always thought that it would come to life in a physical way.
Cheryl Kaplan is co-founder of MGemmy, which she started with Ben Fishman and Maria Gonjami in 2014. It started as a purely e-commerce company, which was bucking the trend of traditional luxury shoe sellers.
We drop new shoes every Monday. We don't drop seasonally. In traditional retail, you look at data, you look at reports, and you say, that's great, that's wonderful for us to know. And next year when we do that shoe or this shoe, we'll take that into account. For us, we can do that real time.
The company hit a nerve with shoppers who liked both the styles and the prices MGemmy was offering. But the founders knew that something in the formula was missing.
One thing that e-commerce doesn't do is it doesn't allow for tangibility. It doesn't allow you to touch, to feel. It doesn't allow you to interact directly with human beings.
Their data showed that first-time buyers were hesitant to take the plunge.
We knew that buying footwear online could be tricky. And so we had to remove every hurdle that we could in an effort to try to get men and women to try us for the first time.
So they opened their first storefront in 2016 in the heart of New York's Soho neighborhood, with a second Boston location in 2017. From the outside, MGemmy may look like a typical store, but the experience is far from typical.
It's not transactional. You don't walk in and say, I need that shoe, and you're in and out.
There's no cash register in sight, and you can't walk out with your purchases. This isn't a store, it's a fit shop. Instead of shoes for sale, the store carries every style in every size for customers to try on. And then a sales associate orders the shoes for you online.
The fit shops are truly about trying on the shoe, maybe being a little adventurous, trying on something that you might not have bought online, but you try it on. What we find as a result is we've created this super consumer. And what that means is they buy more when they come to the store, they return less, they frequent our website more often after.
Ariel Kay, founder of home essentials brand Parachute, also started her company online in 2014.
We were able to reach a lot of people and, you know, overcome those geographic constraints that you can on the internet, and also collect a lot of information about our customers, not in the creepy way, but in the really important way.
But similar to MGemmy, the data showed that customers wanted the option of a more hands-on approach. So 2 years after its start, Parachute opened a storefront underneath its headquarters in Santa Monica, California.
this is a category that's super focused on touching products and feeling them. It made a lot of sense to go offline. And they spend 45 minutes in the store becoming true brand advocates, and you don't get that online. You don't get people, you know, on the website for 45 minutes. They may have come in for a set of sheets, but all of a sudden they want to buy towels and tabletop.
The shop helped people experience the brand in a tangible way. But Ariel never wanted to create a store in the old model of retail.
In order to build a true lifestyle brand, you have to think beyond selling products, and you have to think about selling experiences. Building relationships that go beyond that first purchase is so important.
So Parachute rented space above the store and furnished an Insta-worthy rentable one-bedroom apartment decked out with their products. The Parachute Hotel concept was born.
And they sleep between our sheets and they use our towels and they get cozy with the robes.
Felicia Sullivan booked the room for two nights with a friend. She says the stay made her a true Parachute believer.
When we walked in here, it felt very true to their aesthetic, and you think, okay, this is what it means to have kind of a Parachute lifestyle. Because you want to buy into everything, not just, you know, the primary item, which were the sheets and the bedding and the comforters and that kind of thing.
They also host events in the apartment, often in partnership with other brands, in order to get their products in front of new potential customers.
What we've seen by having a space for us to host, we've been able to connect with so many people that we would never otherwise been able to connect with.
It's a perfect way to showcase the products for people who may not have ever walked into the store.
People go upstairs and they know that they're not going to be sold to, but you know, they're reminded of all the beautiful things that we make.
For both M. Jemmy and Parachute, most customers still find them for the first time online. But if things keep going the way they're heading, the old school in-person experience with a modern twist is going to continue to be a part of their growth.
Today, there's so many brands and so many people trying to sell the same thing. In order to stand out and really connect with customers, you have to do something different.
One of the important parts of working in retail is not allowing the experience to get stale. You can't allow the experience to become expected. And you really need to create something that people want to be a part of. And being flexible and agile, I think, is the key.
One small town says shop local starts with work local. And to keep their main street vibrant, this town has made an all-out bid to transform its economy from manufacturing to tech, thanks in part to the efforts of some far-sighted planners and one of the wealthiest women in the state. We went to Beloit, Wisconsin to find out how that's working.
10 years ago, Beloit, Wisconsin was in trouble.
10 years ago, we'd go to lunch and there'd be nobody at the restaurants.
We would come and work on Sundays and sit outside and watch no one drive down the streets.
Yeah, growing up, if you wanted to do something, you left Beloit.
To understand why, just look around the town. You see powerful smokestacks, brick factory buildings, and imposing storefronts, structures that once symbolized the pride of downtown America. Now, for most of us, these represent nothing more than long-neglected icons of Rust Belt obsolescence. Well, today, the town of Beloit is scraping off the rust and reconfiguring those hulking old buildings into centers for new tech industry.
And if we redo that, then I think that might be the best path, don't you think?
They're repurposing the buildings and the town to support tech sector jobs that now drive today's economy.
And you have to remake yourself, and that's what we're doing here in Beloit. This is never going to be a heavy manufacturing city again.
Diane Hendricks is one of the town leaders making this possible.
We can't fix downtown without jobs.
As a key actor in the local business community, she wants her energy and her money to do more than rehab a few old buildings. She wants to rehab the town's whole economy.
Not just build the buildings and make it look pretty, but put lives in there.
She and her late husband, Ken, made billions in the construction supply industry. They then applied their skills and millions of their own dollars into buying up many of those neglected buildings. Today, she and the town are bringing in tech industry tenants to replace the long-gone manufacturers.
The town is transitioning. It's going through a digital transformation. We're literally in the remnants of a factory, and now we have people programming software code.
Troy Vossler is part of that transition. As a tech startup investor, he says the developing Beloit economy is itself a kind of startup.
We're really creating, I think, a vibrant startup hub that is going to only increase in prominence.
We've got new restaurants, we have new businesses, and there's 2,000 something employees in this building now, and just 5-6 years ago, there was a couple hundred.
Richard Spanton Jr. is the founder of Aculinks.com, a multi-million dollar system software company.
Hey, Justin, what's up?
While he could have easily located the business in Silicon Valley, his strong family ties to Beloit and this building in particular have kept him close to home as an anchor tenant in Diane's Iron Tech Incubator.
I was born at Beloit Hospital. My dad went to Beloit Memorial High School. My grandpa worked in this building, actually, for a company called Beloit Corporation for 42 years.
Being part of the rebirth of this town's economy is a point of pride.
Not everybody wants to move to California or Boston or New York. I mean, they're great communities, they're great cities, but it's also nice here in the Midwest.
They didn't just fix it up. They elevated it to Chicago high-end office space, and the company started coming in. We actually are going to rent 20,000 square feet from them next year. We just signed the lease.
Steve Eldred is the fourth generation owner of Beloit's First National Bank. He says Diane's enthusiasm has energized business owners like himself to expedite and refine earlier redevelopment plans begun by his father and others 20 years ago.
She'll tear down a building downtown, and I may own a building across the street, and she'll call and say, you need to renovate your building. So then I'll renovate a building or renovate two buildings. And then I call her and say, you need to renovate one across the road from me. So it becomes very competitive.
That sounds like somebody I know, but his name is Steve. We compete a little bit, and it's fun.
A little bit of that competition is great. It's actually helped things grow even further.
Rob Gerbitz is the president and CEO of Hendrix Commercial Properties, the real estate arm of Diane's sprawling business interests. He says beyond the refurbished buildings, tech tenants also require an updated Main Street.
Definitely, it's not just fixing up an old building. That's the easy part. Having the restaurants, having the gift shops, having the hotels and that here is highly important.
You need to bring the employees and put life within those buildings. And that's the key component that has made what we're doing in Beloit so successful.
We're seeing an increase in business from those people that are coming to work here, along with the fact that people are now traveling here. So there's business travelers that come to town.
Jackie Jennett's sandwich shop / bookstore / pickle factory may look a little rough around the edges. But she says not only does her business Bushel and Peck's benefit from the growing new tech economy, but her rehab Woolworths location is also what draws those tech businesses into town.
The relationship actually goes both ways. We benefit the recruitment of those employees that are going to come to work in this community. They need innovation in what they're seeing in their personal lives too.
I think there's definitely a ripple effect.
They identified their problems, they understood what they were, and they work together.
Marjorie Driscoll and her husband Brenton recently located their startup imaging business, Peer Canvas, in the Beloit Iron Tech Incubator. They're grateful for the commitment made by the town's business leaders to rebuilding the local business community.
I'm sure they have some idea, but they probably have no idea how far-reaching what they do means.
And to be a part of bringing it back, I mean, that gives me goosebumps.
It can be tough for local businesses to break through all of the noise during the holiday season. So teaming up with other businesses for Small Business Saturday can be a great way to encourage shoppers to shop local. Here with some strategies to help you band together with other business owners is Rhonda Abrams, a USA Today columnist and president and founder of Planning Shop, a publishing company that creates content about business, planning, and entrepreneurship. It is so good to see you, Rhonda.
Hello, JJ. It's always nice to be with you.
All right. You have been working with small business owners for many, many years, and so you are the expert on this very topic. Let's talk about how you get them to work together.
Well, first of all, let's talk about Small Business Saturday, which is why you brought me here. And it is my favorite holiday of the year, basically, for almost almost a decade, about 8 years now, it has really become the day that reminds people during the busy holiday season to go out there and shop small. So the Saturday after Thanksgiving has now become the day to shop small. And it's also brought small business owners together. As you've mentioned, one of the great things about Small Business Saturday is the ability for business districts, small businesses in an area to come together to make their area destination.
Let's talk about some of the events you can have. One suggestion I've heard you say is plan something for children, which I think is brilliant because it's Saturday and you want to be with your kids on Saturday, right? You're working all week or you know, they don't have school that day. And so that gives you a chance to shop while they're doing something else.
Well, it's also the Saturday after Thanksgiving, so you've all been around one another a long time. So you're ready to get out of the house and go do something. So neighborhoods that have pulled together and done something for kids, it can be something as simple as face painting, mm-hmm. you know, having donuts, having various different kinds of things. Anything will draw parents out to come out and do things with their kids and then draw shoppers into your own neighborhood. I'm holding up my little Shop Small love.
I like your heart there. Show the love.
Okay. There it is. It is my heart. ShopSmall.com and hashtag ShopSmall or hashtag SmallBizSaturday are things to make sure you're putting in your social media.
I also love this idea of getting together with other businesses to put together some gift package. And maybe it's that you get something and it's like you pay for it one place and you get to go to the spa here and the restaurant here and pick up a gift here so that it gets you into many different stores.
I love getting, not only does it get you into many different stores, but remember, small retailers are really always having to come up with creative ways to fight those big online companies that they have to go after. And by pulling together bundles, whether it's within your own store or even creatively among a number of different kinds of businesses in a neighborhood, as you might do a nail salon and a spa or a hair salon and a spa, you might do a restaurant with a cooking store to have a variety of different packages together, or a bundle of gift certificates that gets people into a number of different stores, gets them shopping together, gets money into all those stores' pockets, and it's something you cannot buy online.
And then finally, a last idea to get people in many stores is a passport program, something where you get stamped at each place.
And you can get that material online at shopsmall.com. And I've seen this done. I was in Ashland, Oregon a couple of years ago, and they had a passport. And each of the different businesses that were participating offered a discount. But when you filled in your whole passport, mm-hmm. got a stamp at each store that you went to, then you got a special present. And might have been a tote bag, like the Shop Small tote bag that
you
we
know,
have.
Rhonda, I feel like what else is going to come out of your magic hat that you have there sitting on your lap? All right, well, Rhonda,
I have so much Shop Small swag. I just love it all.
It's all going to be falling out of your jacket and stuff as you get up. I love seeing you. One last, I want to give you 1 second to give a shout out to your favorite independent store that you're going to be shopping at on Small Business Saturday.
Well, I love them all, but probably a bookstore, because independent bookstores are really great. So I'll probably be going to Kepler's and buying a whole bunch of books for the holiday gifts.
Oh, I know.
That's
Kepler's.
Something I always do.
Fantastic store. All right, Rhonda, happy Small Business Saturday. Have a fabulous season, and hopefully we'll see you soon.
You too. Thanks, JJ.
It is important as a business owner or a decision maker to stay on top of what's going on in your industry and in the world at large. So here are 5 easy ways to make sure your company is staying current. 1, watch web videos. YouTube has exploded with expert user-generated content on just about everything. So if you're trying to figure something out, chances are you'll be able to find the answer. 2, look at your own sales trends. Are a lot of people buying things they didn't buy before? Are they asking for something new? Monitor your sales and talk to your customers to identify new trends. 3, read trade magazines. It's not enough to just subscribe to the trade magazines. Read them. They are dedicated to giving you targeted, actionable information. 4, track your competitors. Check to see if they're investing in new products or services, or if there's a place for you to fill the void or do something better. And 5, follow industry leaders on social media. You can get up-to-the-minute information on just about everything. Use it strategically and follow the right people to stay ahead of the curve. We're here in Sam's Club in Secaucus, New Jersey, to kick off a very special series of our elevator pitch. Sam's Club is a membership-only retail warehouse club. It's got more than 650 locations across the country, and it reaches millions of people. Our elevator pitchers are going to have the chance to pitch their product to two buyers from Sam's Club. And if the buyers like it, those elevator pitchers are going to be invited to Bentonville, Arkansas, where they will have the chance to get their product in a club just like this. Let's go meet the first pitcher. DJ Lozada, I'm JJ. Nice to meet you.
Hi, JJ.
All right, what's the name of your company?
Soul Pop Gourmet Popcorn.
I am very excited about this. Do you go to Sam's Clubs?
I do. I'm a frequent shopper of Sam's.
You do. So what would it mean for you to have Soul Pop on the aisles here at Sam's Club?
It would be a dream come true.
It would. How long have you been running this company?
Just 1 year.
1 year. Okay. I'm going to take this from you because okay. I'm going to eat this while you are pitching to Sam's Club buyers, Amy Legrone and Stephen Holman. I think you're going to do a great job.
Thank you.
I can't wait to taste this.
Thank you.
Let's go see what they think.
All right. Hi.
Hello. Hey. How are you?
I'm DJ.
I'm Steven. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
Amy.
You.
Great to meet you.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to meet with you today to talk about Soul Pop Gourmet Popcorn. I brought you a couple of samples, so please feel free to indulge as I talk to you about why I think Soul Pop would be a good fit for Sam's Club.
Okay.
Fantastic. Thank you.
So my name is DJ Lozada, and I am the maker of Soul Pop Soul Food Popcorn. I love Soul Popped. I love soul food, and I love popcorn. But how to put the two together and not wreck my family's health, that was a challenge. So one day I went into the kitchen and using only the ingredients I found there, I created Soul Pop Soul Food Inspired Popcorn. Now, soul food is now chic food and it's in restaurants all over the world. Popcorn is trending as America's favorite snack food. It is low in calories and it's easy to carry on the go. It's currently an $8 billion industry in the US and it's estimated to grow at 10% annually through 2021. Soul Pop is created by a chef, not a chemist. That's why our flavors are authentic. We have chicken and waffles, macaroni and cheese, banana pudding, just to name a few. I hold trade secret agreements on all of the products and on the brand. In just 1 year, we've sold more than 10,000 units at two area farmers markets to a growing legion of Soul Poppers.
I'm going to have to stop you right there. Your minute is up. I also am going to get sick if I eat any more, not because it's bad, but because it is so good. All right, you guys, did you have a chance to taste some of it?
We did. Yes.
Okay.
Very delicious. I love how unique the flavors are. I'm so curious, how did you come up with these flavors?
Well, I have children who have taste and texture issues, and so it was an easy way for me to give them the food of my heritage, soul food, without wrecking their health.
That's great. It's definitely something we're looking for. Remember that unique, something that you can't find everywhere. So
thank you.
It's great.
Popcorn's on trend. The flavors are great. I love the chicken and waffles that I tasted. It's just really, really good stuff.
I'm just going to put a plug for the barbecue
and the banana pudding. Yes.
I had all this time to taste them all. Yep.
Okay, yes. Moment of truth. You had a chance to taste it. You had a chance to meet DJ.
Yes.
Does she get an invitation to Bentonville?
I would say she does.
Oh, yay!
Yes.
Congratulations!
Thank you, so much. Thank you.
I love the packaging.
Thank yes, you.
Packaging
is
fantastic.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
Nutritional facts. I love what you're doing. I'd love to talk more about it.
Thank you.
So welcome.
Absolutely.
What a great
thanks event. For being here. Happy to have you.
All right.
Best of luck in Arkansas.
Thank you so much, DJ.
All right, let's go. When we come back, what you need to do to develop and maintain a global marketing strategy. And our Brain Trust has some great guidance on how owners and decision makers can effectively manage their time.
Sponsored by American Express, founding partner of Small Business Saturday. On Saturday, November 25th, shop small and show your love for small businesses.
Every day, on every street, in every town across America, small businesses show their love to you. With some friendly advice, a genuine smile, and a warm welcome, they make your town, well, your town. That's why American Express is proud to be the founding partner of Small Business Saturday, a day where you get to return that love, because shopping small makes a big difference. So on November 25th, get up, get out, and shop small.
How did you manage consistent marketing messaging in a global economy?
Managing consistent marketing and messaging in a global economy is more difficult now than it's ever been. And really, digital plays a huge part in that because you can't necessarily, for your company and your message, control how it's distributed. And you can't control every asset anymore. You know, in the past, we used to control collateral and we used to control, you know, visual merchandising in stores. Now everything is digital. So, you know, the way that we've done this and continue to do it every day is to really be very crystal clear on our brand messaging with all of our partners and on that hierarchy. So anytime our business, whether it's talked about on television or it's in stores or, you know, touches a consumer in some way, shape or form, you know, what is that hierarchy of messaging? You know, what is our mission, our core beliefs as a company? And then simple things like your creative assets, how do you want them presented and what's the hierarchy of that and what are your standards as a brand?
It is now time for our Brain Trust, where we get really smart founders and business decision makers and ask them some tough questions and get their real experiences with it. Today, we have two great people, Tiffany Pham, the founder of Mogul, which is an information sharing platform for women. How many people do you have on it now?
We reach over 18 million women per week.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing. Congratulations. And also Paul English, the founder of Lola, travel app for business travelers, but you're also very well known for founding Kayak.
Yep.
But that's two out of six companies I just learned. So you are a serial entrepreneur. Great to see both of you. Since you're both so busy, we're talking about time management. How do you conquer time management? What do you do?
I really try to maximize every moment of the day. So, for example, working out in the morning, I get up at 6. I get to dance class, for example, at 7 a.m. I have business colleagues and friends of mine all join in. So I'm enhancing friendship and collaborations all in one moment. And then throughout the day, I actually around 3 to 5 generally tend to start having my energy drain a little bit. So that's around the time frame that I start to block in a lot of meetings so as to re-energize myself and make sure that I'm maximizing those moments as well.
I thought you were going to say the opposite. Your energy is draining until you take a little time for yourself, but you said no, that's when you get it going.
Exactly.
All right, so you're just busy all the time, it sounds like, is how you manage time. What about you?
So I tend to be pretty disciplined about it. I'm on 5 nonprofit boards. I run a startup. I teach at local universities in Boston.
You have and two children.
Yeah, and I'm very structured about my day. So I also color code my calendar, and I have basically 4 colors for all my appointments. I have one color for Lola, which is my most important, where I spend most of my time. I have a color for all my nonprofit work. I have a color for personal time, and I have a color for personal investment, which is things like working out, meditation class, things about trying to make me a better person.
Either of you use to-do lists? Because that's how I manage my time. And I get that great satisfaction of just crossing something out.
Oh, absolutely. I love having to-do lists. And essentially realizing as you scan the to-do list, what might be the most optimal one to do next that would provide the most return at that moment. And that's the one I do next. So that's how I kind of use prioritization to essentially help with my time management as well.
I like your idea, too, of inviting people to your classes with you. So maybe instead of going for a drink with someone, going for a hike, so you get your exercise done and your social time done at the same time.
Something productive that helps both people.
Right. You do the same?
I don't use explicit to-do lists. I use my email inbox, which I'm obsessed with keeping at like 10 items or under. I think I get about 400 emails a day, but I have a
particular
process.
How do you do that? Oh my God, that's a whole nother segment about how you keep it 10 items or under.
Yeah.
I got down to 157 and I felt like that was such an accomplishment.
Yeah, I'm obsessed. I mean, I think I have one-touch email handling. So basically when you get an email, you have to do one of 4 things. You either delete it, which means that this is not that important to me. You do something about it. So if someone asks you for a phone number, rather than saying, I'll look at this later, which means you look at the email
twice. You just do it right then.
You do it right then, or you delegate it. And when you delegate, you have to basically trust the person you delegate to that they're going to do it. You don't follow up with them, just trust them. And then the last one, which I try to do rarely, is you defer and say, I'll take care of this later. I try to do it in real time.
And then where does that go? Into a folder somewhere?
Yeah, I use Gmail, and so I star it. And
right.
So my inbox is generally empty. And I go to my starred items to see things that have been deferred.
Oh, my God. You are my hero. How many do you have in your inbox?
I try to get to inbox 0 every single night.
Oh, my God. Who are you people? Okay. You've given me a new goal. It was so great to talk to you both. I'm going to check in with you in 2 months from now. I'm giving myself 2 months and see if I can get to 10 or 0 every night. Good
great.
To see you both.
All right.
Thanks for your day.
This week's Your Biz Selfie comes from Hugh Balthrop, who's the culinary wizard behind Sweet Magnolia Gelato in Clarksdale, Mississippi. He is constantly experimenting with new recipes. Some of his most recent flavors include blueberry cheesecake, peppermint bark, and this one sounds so good, brown sugar and bourbon. Now, why don't you pick up your smartphone, take a selfie of you and your business, and send it to us at yourbusiness@msnbc.com or tweet it to @msnbcyourbiz. Include your name, the name of your business, your location, and please use the hashtag YourBizSelfie. Thank you, everyone, so much for joining us. We love hearing from you, so if you have any questions or comments or just want to say hi, just send an email to yourbusiness@msnbc.com. Also, please take a sec to go to our website. It's openforum.com/yourbusiness. We put up all the segments from today's show, plus a whole lot more for you. And you can find even more on all of our digital and social media platforms as well. We look forward to seeing you next time. Till then, I'm JJ Ramberg, and remember, we make your business our business.
Sponsored by American Express, founding partner of Small Business Saturday. On Saturday, November 25th, shop small and show your love for small businesses.
Every day, on every street, in every town across America, small businesses show their love to you. With some friendly advice, a genuine smile, and a warm welcome, they make your town, well, your town. That's why American Express is proud to be the founding partner of Small Business Saturday, a day where you get to return that love, because shopping small makes a big difference. So on November 25th, get up, get out, and shop small.
Your business is sponsored by American Express Open. American Express Open is committed to helping businesses turn their best ideas into reality so they can say yes to their best ideas and get business done.